I want to say I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord here this morning. And I want to thank the church for your prayers and your continued prayers through that hard time that we had there in the beginning of December. And I appreciate the prayers of this church. Amen. I know when Brother Derek says that this church has been praying, I know he means it. And as you can see, the Lord moved, and we have this little baby here full of hair, and hair everywhere on that baby. Amen. And I'm so thankful. Amen. I'm so thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. And it's an odd thing to say, but I'm thankful for hardship like that because it draws you closer to the Lord, and it helps you to understand who He is on a deeper level. Amen. I can stand here today and look at you and be able to say, I know Him better today than I knew then. Amen. I'm just so thankful, man, for this church, for this opportunity that we have to minister here. Amen. And for the many blessings this church has been good to us. Amen. And, you know, different people reaching out to us, checking in on us. Amen. We feel it and we appreciate it. Amen. I feel like the Lord has laid a message on our heart, or on my heart for this morning. Amen. I don't know how long we're going to be here for. Don't plan to be too long. It's always, you know, you always want to hear that from the preacher. Don't plan to be here too long. We'll get you guys out of here. Y'all can go home and eat some lunch. Amen. But I do feel like the Lord has laid a message on my heart for this morning. Amen. I want to encourage this church here that we can, in the face of adversity, in the face of everything that is going on in this world, and with all of the opposition that we are going through, we can indeed be the church that this world needs. Amen. And I don't know about you, friend, but as you look at this world, we can look at it and say, man, I don't know what we're going to do here. I don't know how we're going to go about doing this. Amen. And we can look at it and see the degradation that this world is in. But in all reality, the world just needs the church, amen, to stand up and be what she's supposed to be. Amen. And I want to encourage us here this morning. We're going to get into this. We're going to talk about how we're able to be the church that this world needs. And if you would, let's open up to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 12 through 16. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. If you got it, those that are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. If you got it, say amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but people magnified them. And believers were the more added unto the church, multitudes, both men and women, and so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also multitudes out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Amen. It's absolutely amazing to me how these disciples, or how these men here, were able to be the church that their world needed. Amen. You can see and you can read here that there were multitudes, both men and women, that were added into the church. And so much that they were bringing forth sick folk and laying them on beds and couches, so that at the very least, the shadow of Peter just passing by them might overshadow them and heal them. Man, I'm talking about an experience with God. Amen. There was multitudes that came out from cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and every one of them were healed. Amen. Revival. Talking about turning this world upside down, being the church that this world needs. Amen. That's what we're going to be preaching on this morning, the church that our world needs. Stretch your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help and anoint in this place. Everybody praying together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. God, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Father.
Challenge us as a church.
We ask you, God, to have your way in this service, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Open up our minds. God, I pray, Lord, that you encourage us, Lord, to stand up and be the church that this is. So, God, move on us. God, deal with us. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated here this morning. It is apparent to us today that we are living in probably some of the hardest times in history. I understand that historically speaking, there has been multiple tragedies that has affected this world. And if we were to think about it, about historical events that we have learned throughout our lives and throughout the years of going to school, events like the Holocaust and Hitler and how tragic of an event that was, where thousands upon thousands of people were killed for simply who they were. We can think about the Great Depression that hit back in the 1930s and how awful that was and how poverty was at an all-time low and millions would be made homeless. And the cost of a loaf of bread was astronomical. Most, if not all, the world was affected by this tragic event. Even though we can look back at some of this world's deepest and darkest trials, it pales in comparison to what we're beginning to face here in our lifetime. In no way am I saying that COVID-19 is worse than the Holocaust. I'm not saying that COVID-19 is worse than the Black Plague. But what I'm saying is that even though in history's deepest and darkest moment, there was still a church that rose to the occasion, praying and fasting, staying on her knees, and proclaiming the name of the Lord. But as I look at the day in which we are living in, I'm able to tell you that as a majority, the church is failing to do her part. She is falling into this last day apostasy. In the middle of this tragedy of COVID-19, in the middle of what is happening in our government, in the middle of all the persecution that is happening in the Middle East, in the middle of pastors getting arrested in Canada for having church, the church is in the deepest, darkest spot that she has ever been in. Instead of people running unto God, people by the thousands are walking out on God. Congregation numbers are downsized by the week. People backsliding left and right. People who once stood for holiness and for righteousness are now compromising. False doctrine has been infiltrating into our churches. And while our children are being indoctrinated by the filth of this world, down at the schoolhouse, the saints of God are falling asleep in God's house. Abortion and homosexuality at an all-time high. Divorce and remarriage is something that we wink at. Mental hospitals are being filled every single day, trying to medicate demonic activity, and morality is being trampled on. Amen. And I ask this question, where is the church? Where's the church at? Where are the signs that follow those that believe? Where are the people that know how to intercede on behalf of those that are lost? Where are the people who are filled with the Spirit of God? God, help us to rise up and to be the church that this world needs. Amen. We have just read from a very powerful portion of scripture here in Acts chapter 5 about how the Holy Ghost through men were saving, healing, and delivering and setting men and women free that were around about them. The Bible tells us that it was by the hands of the apostles that many signs and wonders were wrought among the people, that there were multitudes, both men and women, that were added unto the church. The apostles had such an experience with God that they impacted the world in which they were living in, and so much that they were taking men and women that were sick and laying them on couches and on beds, that at the very least the shadow of Peter passing by them might overshadow them and heal them. Amen. The Bible tells us that there were multitudes of people that came from cities around Jerusalem, bringing sick and afflicted, bringing them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they would bring these people and they would leave completely healed. Amen. Could you imagine if this was to happen today? People coming from busloads, traffic jams, coming from Norfolk and from Richmond, amen, coming from Washington and from Raleigh, bringing their sick and afflicted, amen. Could you imagine getting in your vehicle and turning on the radio and somebody going over and say, I don't know exactly what's going on and why there's so many traffic jams, but I'm able to tell you that there is a traffic jam that leads to this little church over on Blackburn Lane in Hampton, Virginia, amen. I don't know exactly what's going on. Wouldn't that be a wonderful sight to see that happening, that people are being brought here from different cities, people from Richmond, people from Norfolk, people from Washington and from Raleigh, different places coming abroad and bringing their sick and afflicted, and the revival happening, people getting healed and delivered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a wonderful thing that it was to be happening here. What a wonderful sight it would be. Amen. I say it's about time for us to stand up and be the church that this world needs. As I look at this world in the condition that it is in, I'm telling you, friend, it just needs a church. Hallelujah. It doesn't need new policies in government. It doesn't need a new standing in government. But what we have to understand is it just needs the church to stand up and be what this world needs. We need not get discouraged looking at the book of Acts saying that we can never get to where they were. But yet we need to be encouraged, understanding that this wasn't a recording of the Acts of the Apostles, but rather this is a book of the recording. This is a book that is recording the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles. Why should that encourage us? Because if it was a recording of the Acts of the Apostles, then we'd be absolutely doomed. They've done passed away and life has gone on. But since this is a recording of the Acts of the Holy Ghost, He is present with us even now, meaning the same acts that we're performing then, we too, through the Holy Ghost, can do these acts. How many people understand that through the Holy Ghost we can heal and deliver people? How many people understand that if we get full of the Holy Ghost, that He can move through us and the church, amen, is able to be what this world needs. The church that is described to us here in this book of Acts was the church that the world needed. God, help us to rise to the occasion and be the church that this world needs. God, help us to be the church for this day and hour in which we are living in. Take just a handful of us and help us to turn this world upside down, amen. I understand, friend, it may look bleak, it may look hard, but at the same time, we must understand and know that it's not by might nor by power, but it is through the Spirit of God. Amen. That is the only way that we're able to be the church that this world needs. Brother Austin, well, how do we become the church that this world needs? To be honest with you, I'm glad you asked. Like I said before, we don't need to get discouraged looking at the book of Acts, but we can look into its pages and receive instruction, knowing that if we're going to have what they had, that we have to do what they did. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to have what they had, we have to do what they did. Let's take a few more moments this morning and go through the book of Acts to understand what these men did to be the church that their world needed. But I want to say this before we get into this message a little bit further. We got 4 points here. Amen. I want to say this. Some of these here, amen, I want to encourage us, but at the same time, all these points here are going to cause us to reflect on our own lives, to see where we are with God. Amen. But I want us to understand, amen, that I'm not coming down on the church. Amen. But I want us to reflect on our own lives, to look at ourselves and to consider our souls and see where we are with God and ask ourselves this question: how am I able to be the man that I need to be or the woman that I need to be in this day and hour? Amen. Number one, we see that they were witnesses. Our pastor was just about to talk about it here just a little while ago. We see a recording here of Jesus speaking over in Acts chapter 1. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Christ is speaking, and He is saying that they will be witnesses of Him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the whole world. Amen. When we think of the word witness, we think about a trial in a courtroom. A witness is somebody who was there that witnessed whatever happened in that case. Amen. But when we read here in the Greek, we understand that the word witness means to be a martyr. Amen. This is the same idea that Paul had when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This idea that Austin has to be martyred or crucified, put to death or mortified, to take off this old man and to put on the new. Amen. Now you don't see Austin anymore, but you see Christ that is living within me. Amen. These men were witnesses of Jesus Christ, and so much that they were called Christians first in Antioch, meaning that they were Christ-like. Amen. Oh God, help us to be Christ-like. Help us to be so Christ-like that when they cut us, we bleed like Christ. That when they come against us, we react like Christ. That when they come against us, amen, they're able to look at us and say, there is something different about these people. They're not like these other denominations. They're not like these other people that are in this world proclaiming to be saved, but they're like a different man. They're like from a man that's from out this world. Amen. You resemble a man named Christ. Let us be a witness of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, as we go throughout our lives, we get saved, and it is extremely easy for us to go throughout our lives and to just have our life and to put church in it whenever it's convenient. But friend, we need to understand that it is our relationship with Christ that is most important, and then our life when it's most convenient. I'm not saying that you can never have fun. I'm not saying that you can't go out and do things that are pleasurable unto you. And I'm not saying that you can't do those things. But friend, what I'm trying to say is this. We need to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And when they look at us, they're able to say, man, there is something different about that guy. I'm telling you, friend, this world is full of people that have a Christian relationship, but yet they are not like Christ. It is time for the church to stand up and be a witness, to be martyred. I understand that the disciples were actually martyred for Christ. But at the same time, this is the idea that I'm already dead and Christ is living within me. I've already been crucified. I've already been mortified. And Christ is living his life within me today. Yes. Amen. To be a witness of Jesus Christ. These men were witnesses of Jesus Christ. Number two, they were full of the Holy Ghost. We turn to the next chapter and understand that these men and women didn't do these acts in themselves, but they were full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 gives us this account. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, I've said it before, the Holy Ghost isn't a pep talk in every drop experience, but being full of the Holy Ghost is a change of life that will alter you forever. You won't think the same. You won't walk the same. You will be guided by the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, friend, in this day and hour in which we are living in, we have slowly but surely diminished the necessity of being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, friend, it's necessary. I said it's necessary. We need to be full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to have a Pentecostal experience in our lives for ourselves. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't know how to be like Christ. Isn't that exactly what he said? He said, for I must go away. If I don't go away, I'm not able to send the Comforter. And when that Comforter comes, he's not going to speak of himself, but he will speak of me. Understand that you need to have the Holy Ghost to know how to be like Christ. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, then we wouldn't have the gifts of the Spirit. If we didn't have the Holy Ghost, then we wouldn't know how to live and walk. Amen. When was the last time you had a fresh refilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When was the last time the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed your life? When is the last time you hit your knees in your house and got a hold of God and prayed out and prayed through in the Holy Ghost? When is the last time you had a Holy Ghost experience? Come on now. I've heard it throughout the years. God filled me with the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. That's wonderful. I haven't seen a shout since. Come on now. God's filled me with the Holy Ghost 5 years ago. That's wonderful, but I've not seen you have a breakthrough yet. Come on. Brother Austin, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that we need to be full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I understand that there is some contradiction there. I know there are some people that teach and preach that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't make it to heaven. I don't see that in Scripture, but what I can say is this. Friend, what is stopping you from being full of the Holy Ghost? What is stopping you? Amen. Friend, I've come to tell you this. I wouldn't want to go to Walmart without the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't want to go throughout my life without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, friend, if there is ever a time that we need to be full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is right now in this day and hour. It is right now in this dispensation. It is time for the church to be full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When is the last time the Holy Ghost overshadowed you and it changed your life? When is the last time the Holy Ghost came and revealed unto you Christ and you started crying and weeping in his presence? Friend, I've come to tell you, it's not just about the shout. It's not just about speaking in tongues. It's about your life being altered and being altered forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on now. I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. But yeah, that tongue is still like a snake. There's a problem, friend. You're not full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on now, friend. I say it's time that we have an upper room experience for ourselves. Friend, I'm going to say this and we're going to move on. Friend, in order for us to have Pentecost, we must first have the Passover. They're directly related. We're talking about feast here. The feast of the Passover and the feast of Pentecost. What happened 50 days after the feast of the Passover? Pentecost. What are you trying to say, Brother Austin? Sometimes there's been times in my life where I had to go back to the cross, get down on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me. And then move forward and say, I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we need to get down on our knees and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the life that I've been living and help me, Lord, to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry for this thing that I've done in my life, and I want to move forward and be full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, friend, in order for us to have Pentecost, we must first have the Passover. And I'm telling you, friend, if there's ever a time that the church needs to make it right and get a hold of God and be full of the Holy Ghost, it is right now. It is right now. It is right now. Friend, what I'm trying to say is this. It is time for us to make sure that our lives are trending burning. It is time for us to make sure that our vessels are full of oil. It is time for us to make sure that we are right before God and we've got exactly what we need in order to be the church that this world needs. Hallelujah. Number three, they were preachers of righteousness. They were preachers of righteousness. We read over in Acts chapter 3 that these men were preachers of righteousness. This is the story of a man that laid at the gate called Beautiful. All of a sudden there came some adversity. People around them started to have wonder, and immediately Peter begins to preach the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. He goes on to tell them, amen, understand that we are living in a world where good is evil and evil is good. We still need to be preachers of the righteousness of God, proclaimers of the word of God. They're going to push their own agenda. They're going to pass legislation. They're going to try to shut us down, but we need to proclaim the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Peter rebuked them and told them what they did unto Christ. They said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, friend. Amen. But we're living in a time where people are starting to wonder and to think, and there's some adversity that is going on. If Christ is really real, if God is really real, then why do these things happen? Why does this one have to die? Why does that one have to die? If God is really real, then why does this or that have to happen? Why has COVID hit America? Men and women around us are starting to wonder and to think. And let me tell you, friend, we need to stand up and be preachers of righteousness and be able to say it's because of our sin that we're in this mess. We're the the reasons why there's sickness among us. We're the reason why there are people that are dying and going to hell. Amen. Because we are living in sin. Amen. Would to God that we would stand up and say, repent and be converted. That way your sins may be washed clean. Then times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What I'm trying to say is this, friend. Even though we're going through a hardship, even though we're going through hard times, even though here recently a lot of us has been facing some trouble, we can still have a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Let us stand on the street corners. Let us go into the highways and the byways and the hedges and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you too can be saved.
Amen. That's right.
They were preachers of righteousness. They did not care. They did not care what others around them were thinking. They knew what they had saw, and they knew what they saw was right. They knew that this man named Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, and they knew the experience that they had in the upper room was a legitimate experience, and they were not afraid to preach and say, repent, 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 be converted, be washed from your sins. I'm telling you, friend, we've got a lot of people, amen, in the church world that are saying, we can pet sin, we can play with sin. I'm telling you, friend, it is time for us to stand up and preach righteousness. It is either black or white. It's either right or wrong. We need to be right before God and preach righteousness unto this world. Hallelujah. Number four, they were determined. These men faced adversity. They were being threatened with jail and being beaten if they preached about Jesus again. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 that they prayed for boldness. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth the hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak of the word of God with boldness. Amen. Would to God that we would rise up and be the church that our world needs. That when they threaten us, we stay determined. Amen. Let us pray for boldness and the place be shaken. Let me tell you, friend, that if you read on just a little bit later, you understand that there was a man that stood up and said, what are we going to do with these men here? If they're sent from God, then they're sent from God, and there's nothing we can do about it. But we can't really shut them down. There's nothing that we can really do. And would to God that this government would look at the church and say, there's nothing that we can really do. They're sent from God. We try to put them in jail, but they keep multiplying. Men and women unto the church by the multitude are flocking to the church, getting a hold of God and getting saved. We threaten them with beatings, but yet they keep preaching righteousness anyway. We throw them in jail, and the people that are around them are getting saved. Would to God that we'd get so full of the Holy Ghost and determination that it did not matter. Brother Shane was just preaching or teaching about people and how we need to be people that love people and go after people and minister unto people, that this is the reason why Christ died for people. Would to God that we would realize that every person that passes by us is somebody that is valuable in the sight of God, and we stay determined and say, I want your soul to make it to heaven. Would to God that we would stand up and preach and proclaim the Holy Ghost and righteousness, and the place be shaken. Determined. That it doesn't matter what comes against us. We're still going to move forward. Oh, they took our pastor. They threw him in jail. That's all right. Let's pick up and keep going. They've arrested every preacher in here. Well, somebody's able to stand up. They've got a gift somewhere. Somebody's able to stand up and do what they need to do for the Lord. Let's keep going. Determination. As my wife comes to the piano, she's able to. Friend, there's a lot of stuff that is going on in this present time in which we're living in. Here over these past couple months,
started back, we were in Goshen, Indiana, at the Purity Conference there. And there was an urgency to get right with God, to be holy before God, to purify yourself, to make sure that you were right. Then we go down. I go down to the minister's meeting down there, Brother Woods' church, the Bible school there. As Brother Israel was up teaching, the Holy Ghost started taking over, and there was an urgency that was there to make sure that we were walking righteous before God. And as time just kept unfolding, services kept evolving. The different services that we were going to, and all of a sudden it started changing in to prepare yourself, be ready, I'm coming back. Friend, can I tell you that there might be a time where we might indeed be threatened with jail for preaching righteousness? It's happening in Canada. Come on. And don't think that our government's not going in the same direction. God is looking for a handful of people that'll stay determined, that'll get a hold of God, that'll preach righteousness, that'll be full of the Holy Ghost and be a witness of Jesus Christ. God is looking not for people who have eloquent words. God's not looking for people who have stamina as far as being able to be good in front of people. God's not looking. God is looking for people who are able to be steadfast in the word. God's not looking for people with charisma, but God is looking for people who are able to say, I want to live the life that Christ wants me to live. God is looking for the church to stand up and be the church that this world needs. If everybody would stand. Going back over the message here this morning, how are we able to be the church that this world needs? Number one, we need to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Is there any reservations that you have in your life? Is there anything that you're holding back? Is there any areas that God is not able to deal with and convict you of? Is there any spots that when the pastor gets up and starts preaching, all of a sudden you get uncomfortable, you turn your head, you turn your attention because you don't want to deal with that? We are called to be witnesses, to be martyrs. We no longer live our But Christ lives his life in us. Amen. Number two, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Friend, not every time that the Holy Ghost comes by and refills me, I shout. Most often than not, he's coming and dealing with my heart, pleading with me. I just weep before God and he refills me and helps me to keep on going. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm asking your friend, what's stopping you? Why aren't you going after it? What is hindering you from getting full of the Holy Ghost? Friend, I urge you today, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, come and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If it's been a while since you've been full of the baptism, why don't you just come and say, Lord, give a refreshing. Let there be a new anointing on my life. Let there be a refreshing of your spirit. Thirdly, we need to be preachers of righteousness. And it doesn't matter what agendas and legislation they are pushing from up top. We will still preach what thus saith the word of God. Because I'm going to be honest, it doesn't matter what the president thinks. It doesn't matter what our senator thinks. It doesn't matter what our governors think.
It don't even matter what this old preacher here thinks. What matters is this word and if we're lining up to it or not. Hallelujah. What matters is this word and if we have it in our heart that we might not sin against God. We need to be preachers of righteousness. I don't know about you, friend, but I still believe in living right. I don't know about you, friend, but I still believe in acting right. I don't know about you, friend, but I still believe that this is the inherent word of God. This is the unadulterated word of God. This is the truth that can set men and women free. Yes. Hallelujah. To be preachers of righteousness. I've had men come up to me and say, man, you're bound by that book. No, I am liberated by the Spirit of God through reading this book. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm liberated. I'm not bound. I'm free to live and the freedom and joy of salvation through the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Preachers of righteousness. Glory to God. Number four, they were determined. And we need to be determined as well. That it doesn't matter if my wife decides that she's not going to serve God, this boy still will. It doesn't matter if my family neglects me. It doesn't matter if people around me don't like it. I'm going to stay determined because I know that this is right. This is how they became the church that their world needed. This is how we're able to become the church that our world needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, friend, but I want to see lost loved ones get saved. I want to see mental hospitals being emptied out. Hallelujah. Come on now. I want to see people come in and get healed. People that are known for being disabled coming in and being healed and walking their wheelchair out. What a wonderful thing that will be. Amen. We need to be the church that this world needs. If everybody would, bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you at this time, consider your soul. Think about your life. Think about your relationship with the Lord. Think about it, friend. If there is anything that is in your life that you're holding back from Him, come on now. Are you a witness of Jesus Christ? Has your flesh been crucified? Have you been martyred? Or is your life still living? Friend, may I remind you that the gospel is not about you, but it is for you. The gospel is about Christ and Christ living in you. And we must decrease so He may increase. There has to be a time where we first take the initiative to decrease for Him to increase in our lives. When is the last time you had a Pentecostal experience? Are you a proclaimer of the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Or do you stand down whenever adversity comes your way? And are you determined that you're going to make it no matter what comes your way? Ask yourselves these questions this morning, church. I'm going to be honest with you. This is kind of the direction I feel like the Lord was dealing with me to go in. I'm going to say there's a couple people in this place that are still struggling with, number one, we're not witnesses of Jesus. Friend, I didn't come to get mad. I didn't come to yell. I didn't come to discourage you, but I came to encourage you here this morning that whatever it is you're holding on to, whatever passion or whatever desire it might be, whatever thing that you're longing for in your future, whatever it might be, it is not worth it. It is not worth it. God is dealing with your heart. He is pleading with your soul. He has been pleading with you and dealing with you and convicting your heart. And yet we are still here in this spot. Are you a witness of Jesus Christ? Or are you living your life for yourself? Come on, church.
I see God dealing with different individuals here in this place. Nobody's going to judge you. No one's going to look at you and say, man, they always go and pray. No one's going to look at you and say, man, they always do that or this and that. Let me tell you, friend, if you just come and make it right, I promise you, it'll be worth your while. God is dealing with you. God is pleading with you. And all he wants is for you to put off this old man and to put on the new. So I'm going to ask you at this time, friend, is there any of these things here that you're not doing or that you're not participating in or that you're not involved with that you can get a hold of and say, Lord, help me to be a part of the church that this world needs? Why don't we gather in this here this morning? And if God is dealing with your heart, don't sit back in your pew. Let God deal with you. Let God convict you. Let God liberate you.